And welcome to Live Local Radio. Gosh, here we are Thursday. Welcome aboard, everyone. I'm your host, David Keyes, and we're going to have a great show today. In fact, we have an interesting thing. I had a great interview last week that was awesome with Willie Witteseller, and it went so well, it went so long that we actually continued to record an interview after the show last week. So hopefully you're tuning in for that, because part two will be in our first segment right after the first break. And Willie has a great story to tell. It's just great to have him back in his hometown and making a difference here on the festival board and all sorts of stuff. It's not very often I get to talk to a New York Times bestseller, and he's a very humble but very very active person in our community. I think you're going to really enjoy that for sure. You know, great summer. All of a sudden, here we are, summer again. It's going well. In fact, I was listening to Pat, the weather guy, earlier today, and he's put out a warning that we're going to have a little bit of rain tomorrow there, Tag. So I think that'll be a couple things going on there. But by that point, I'm sure that you'll be regaling in the fact that the U.S. won the soccer match.
I'm hoping so. They better win the soccer match. It'd be pretty sweet. Three in a row?
Well, this is rarefied air for the U.S. men's team. The women's team has always done well. They really have. And I've been lucky enough. I've met two of the former women folks. It was Hope Solo and Alex Morgan. I ran into them when I was doing some stuff in Seattle one time, and it was really kind of cool. And they're like humans. Who knew? I didn't know. But this men's team is going to be doing some really good things, and already has. So they're already punching above their weight. Hopefully they can get through this round. Well, they will get through this round, and then they move into the knockout round, and that's when it gets real serious, because then they're all pretty darn good. So, again, we're going to have Willie Witteseller on with a taped interview, and then we have Kaylee from the city of Ponderay talking about Neighbor Days, and they've got some cool stuff going on over there. And hopefully we'll have some members of the cast of 1776. That's a locally produced play that will be appearing at the Panada coming up over the 4th of July holiday. And speaking of that, I cannot believe we're almost on the 4th of July. My goodness gracious. I've been seeing notes all over, reminding myself that the Sandpoint Rotary Club does the Boom Shaka Laka Laka Boom dance troupe. It's always kind of fun to do that. But the Lions Club, my goodness, they're so busy. In fact, I've seen their fireworks stands pop up already. We're going to talk to Janice next week, right before the big event, if I can pull her away for a few minutes to find out what's going on. But they've got some really special fireworks stuff going on this year, and they've got the parade. It'll be as big or bigger than it's ever been, for sure, too. And there is no better place to be than here on the 4th of July. And to march in that parade, which I've been lucky enough to do a few times, to wave people by when they've been in the parade, there's nothing quite like it. It's a good dose of Americana. And look out for those flags that are all over, too. The Sandpoint Rotary Club will be putting up about, 40, I think, or so extra flags on the 4th along the parade route, just to kind of make it even cooler than before. So if you need a good dose of community and a good dose of the 4th of July, here it is. This is the best place in the world to be. So with that, I think, Tag, what I'm going to do is take that first quick break. And then when we come back, you'll be hearing me talking to Willie again, festival board member, moved back to town. I don't know much if there's much of an intro in what we taped last week, but stay tuned for that. And we'll talk back live right after we're done with that interview. So we'll take a quick break. And then when you come back, you'll be hearing from Willie Witteseller.
High deductibles and copays shouldn't stand in the way of your health. This is why Bonner General Health is now offering cash pay options for CT and MRI scans. The program offers clear, affordable pricing with no hidden fees, so you can access the scans you need when you need them. It's designed for everyone, insured, underinsured, or uninsured. Don't let cost or red tape delay your care. Call 208-265-1285 today to learn about our cash pay options. Bonner General Health, putting your health and your peace of mind first.
We care about your safety. If you need to break ground on a new outdoor project, be aware that buried electric and natural gas lines can be anywhere. It's the law to call 811 at least 2 business days before you dig. Spray paint white lines showing your dig zone, and a crew will mark the utility lines. Mark accuracy zone is within 2 feet of the mark, so always hand dig to expose the line first. Call 811 before you dig. The service is free for residential customers. Avista, we just want you to be safe.
Do you ever pay attention to overhead power lines? If you're like most people, you don't, but you should, especially when you're working up on a roof or carrying a ladder outdoors. kids who climb trees and fly kites and adults with drones need to watch out for power lines too. And on the off chance that you find a downed power line, stay at least 10 feet away and quickly call 911 and Avista. Always pay attention to power lines. It's your best line of defense. Avista, we just want you to be safe.
Hi, this is Brett Taylor with Taylor & Son Chevrolet from the greater Sandpoint area. With summer kicking off, this means the best selection and offers of the year on new 2026 Chevrolet Silverado 1500 trucks. With choices from work-ready to ultra-luxury and engines offered from 4 to 8 cylinders and gas and diesel options, there's a Silverado truck for every purpose. Taylor & Sons knows how to order these trucks for the Inland Northwest lifestyle with popular choices including Z71 suspension, factory lifts, and the appropriate trailering equipment. The best part is that every new 2026 Chevrolet Silverado 1500 is on sale at Taylor & Sons. Right now, new service loan Silverado 1500 trucks are priced at up to $11,500 off MSRP. Starting at prices for well-equipped Silverado 1500 crew cabs are as low as $47,500 plus taxes and fees. You can view our entire inventory of new Silverado 1500 trucks online at tschevy.com. There you will find multiple pictures, detailed descriptions, and clear transaction pricing for every vehicle in stock. For guest-focused service, a world-class facility, and value for your money, it's Taylor & Sons Chevrolet.
Hey, it's Jenny with Feedco Rathdrum, your local family-owned pet and feed store. We have transferred the inventory from the Otis location to Rathdrum, which means we have a lot of new products in store. We are now carrying compressed orchard grass hay bales. We also have compressed alfalfa, timothy, and straw. Farm fresh eggs are always in stock, as well as local honey. We are still offering special orders on chicks. We have lots of new stuff to shop for. We will see you all soon.
News Talk 97.1.
And welcome back to Almost Live Local Radio. I'm your host, David Keyes. I am so glad you're here, and I'm so glad that Willie is here, too. If you were listening to us last week and or on Saturday, you heard the start of a great conversation, and he and I kind of compared notes, and I said, well, I want to learn more about what you're up to and learn more about a person, again, who's a Sandpoint High grad who's moved on to great things and then moved back here and is still doing great things. So, Willie, welcome to the show, and if you want to catch up with Willie, please listen to last week's podcast. But here we are. Now we're almost live. Welcome back to the studio.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here. Keep talking.
Well, it's your job to talk. I'm going to tee things up for you.
Yeah.
So many people probably know that you are Bob Whitty's son.
Right.
And Bob was a longtime radio guy here, and he's a golf guy now. He does all sorts of cool things. Festival Sandpoint, the whole works. And I'm getting a sense that you might have picked up some of the community involvement gene from him. So, well, first of all, tell us about you and your family moving to Sandpoint, mm-hmm. and give us a little bio that way, and then we can jump into what you're doing now.
Yeah. Well, you know how I feel like it's a typical thing people say, oh, I'm becoming my father, I'm becoming my mother. That's been so real for me the last couple years.
You've got better hair, though.
Okay. Just, don't tell him that. I grew up here literally in this radio station. You know, as a kid, whenever they needed a child's voice for a commercial or something, it was me and my sisters would come in and record little ads for all the local businesses, you know, on Main Street. So a lot of memories in this building. Grew up always in and around the festival. That was a big part of my life. My dad, alongside you, it sounds like, for many years serving on the board there.
Oh, he was the leader. I was a follower. You know, you need piano players and piano movers. I was a piano mover. He was a piano player. He made it all happen.
Okay, so, wow. Yeah, well, as a kid, just to see him go up on stage and introduce the bands was always a pretty special thing. And so obviously a lot of foundational memories there. You know, I think about especially, you know, the symphony and getting exposure to live symphonic music. I ended up being a real dedicated musician growing up. So I started playing the drums in middle school and took that very seriously. I took private lessons from this incredible old studio drummer from LA who retired out in Sagal. I would ride my bike from Kootenay to Sagal once a week just to take lessons from him, but ended up playing in symphonic band, jazz band. I did solo competitions. I was me and Paul Gunter, speaking of the festival, we were the rhythm section that would accompany the choir. We would go to, you know, Jazz Fest. And so I was just playing drums nonstop. And I think some of that had to do with, you know, growing up in and around just this awesome community live music scene that the festival was providing.
You bet. What a great way to grow up too, in Sandpoint as part of that as well. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it really
absolutely.
Truly is. So you played the drums a bit. Who was the drummer? Who was your mentor?
His name was Ed Brown.
Okay.
Shout out to Ed Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rest in peace. But I know there was a few other locals that really grew up idolizing this guy. He was a master, and he taught a lot of us, you know, the craft and dedication, which is something I talk about all the time now, because obviously I'm working in a completely different field. I work in video production and media. I'm a creative director. I don't make music, but I think all the time about the foundational education that music education provided in ways that you might not, you know, immediately guess, right? I was learning, what does it really take to get really good at something? That's something that translates across all kinds of fields. I was learning collaboration. Music is huge on collaboration. You're constantly listening and reacting. And I think I use that stuff every day in all different disciplines. So I'm a huge proponent of arts education, music education, exposure to live music. That's honestly why I think the festival at Sandpoint is so important, so special. To me, it's kind of one of the pillars of Sandpoint. So, yeah.
Well, and you and your wife moved back here how long ago now?
Just over a year.
A year ago. A little bit closer to you there. There you go.
Yeah, you got it.
Look at that. How about that? We got the voice in the ear there going. That's pretty cool.
My wife and I moved back a little over a year ago. Now, I never really lost touch with this place. We were coming back pretty regularly before that. You know, we'd come back for a month here, a couple months there, try different seasons. It really was a slow progression to being like, you know what? I think we can and we want to do this full time.
Right. What's her maiden name?
Zaylor.
Okay. And what's your last name?
Witte Zaylor.
So it's Witte Zaylor. You got that?
Exactly.
And no hyphen?
No hyphen. I was inspired by my aunt and uncle who did the same thing. They were McLongstreet. They were McKelvey and Longstreet, and they became McLongstreet. And I was like, oh, you can do that?
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're sharing with me that this has an Ellis Island touch to your last name.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you trace the name Witte back in time.
And that's W-I-T-T-E for you folks at home.
Yeah, that's correct. It goes all the way back to the city of Wittenberg in Germany, which is famously where Martin Luther nailed the Lutheran proclamation on a church door. That's Wittenberg, Germany. And everybody with the name kind of comes back to that town. So at some point in history, our last name was Wittenberg. And I believe it got shortened at Ellis Island when somebody immigrated and they said, let's just keep the first half. And so
you're Smith, you're Witte, I got it. So I think you lucked out. That's a cool last name. So.
Right on.
So now you made it.
It's a good radio name. Although here's a fun fact about Bob Witte. Did you know he had a DJ name when he was in college on Santa Monica Community College radio station?
I assume Bob Witte was a non-diplomat.
Well, don't you think so?
Yes.
But for some reason, I hope I got this right. He'll correct me if I'm wrong. I believe when he first started, he went by Robbie Smiles.
Robbie Smiles. That could have taken off. I don't know
it
why he abandoned that.
And then in hindsight, it's like, why not just Bob Witte? It's already a good name. Yeah.
You're halfway there.
Yeah.
You're there. That's so funny. So a year ago, and tell us a little bit about your job, first of all, and the fact that you were portable and that you could really have lived anywhere you want to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. And then maybe roll into what you're doing now. And tell us again, I know you've helped write a book.
Right.
You know, you've done that. It's New York Times bestseller. Tell us about that as well.
Yeah.
So I'm turning it all over to you.
Sure. I mean, put it all in a bow for you. I work at a company called Road Trip Nation, which I kind of told the origin story on last week's episode.
Long time ago, last week.
But I've been there for over 18 years now. So I built a career with this company. And it started as a small nonprofit with a public television TV show. And we've been able to grow it into a media education company that helps young people all across the country find what they want to do with their life. So we have this huge library of thousands of interviews that we filmed over the decades with people in all kinds of careers. So when a young person is trying to figure out what they want to do in school, counselors and teachers, they can pull up Road Trip Nation and their programs and say, hey, well, if you're interested in this field, let's watch this interview. If you're interested in people like this, let's watch these interviews. And so that's how I've kind of created a life around that. And then Since 2020, essentially, we figured out how to start working remotely, as well as my career kind of evolved. I was no longer in the field filming, but as a creative director, working remotely with all kinds of different creatives. And that's when I realized, hey, we can move back to Sandpoint and keep doing this. But to your point, the book, about 10, 12 years into my career, we had filmed already hundreds of these interviews. We got an opportunity, really cool opportunity, with Chronicle Books out of San Francisco. They wanted us to compile everything we had learned from all these interviews. Really unique position, right?
To synthesize everything into a book form.
And say, like, hey, if somebody just wanted to know, like, what you guys have heard out there on the road, can you put that in writing for us? I wasn't a writer at the time, but I was really uniquely positioned, if you think about it, as someone who had filmed and edited all these interviews. So they brought writers in, actual writers. There was a group of us to make it sound legit. And at the same time, they really leaned on myself and my wife, who are actually co-authors on this book, to lay down the foundation for them of the story. Take all these interviews that we'd filmed over the years and tie the themes together and create a narrative. And so every morning at, you know, 5, 6 a.m., I would wake up before work. I would spend hours just banging out on the keyboard before I came into work, just so I wouldn't embarrass myself with this group of writers, just to be like, okay, how's this, you know? And it was an amazing year of my life, honestly, just writing nonstop, studying this stuff, just doing everything I could. And quick story, we had just finished the intro, which we actually wrote last. We wrote the whole manuscript, and then we wrote the intro. I wrote a draft of the intro, and we quoted an interview that I had filmed who said his best advice was, well, if you're not lost, then you're not much of an explorer. And I loved that. And I put it in the intro. I thought, hey, this is actually really good starting advice. So I wrote that draft. I brought it in that day. And I said, hey, you guys, if this book becomes a New York Times bestseller, I'm going to get this quote as a tattoo. And I proclaimed that in front of everybody.
Right.
Yeah. And about a year later, we were popping champagne in the office because we were on the New York Times bestseller list. And I didn't get the whole quote, but you could see it on my wrist for listeners. It says, if you're not
if
lost.
You're not lost.
Freckle, freckle, freckle,
arm hair. Got it.
And I did it that day. We were on the New York Times list. I left the office and drove to a tattoo shop. And I was like, I told him I would do this. So there
you told
go.
Him you'd halfway do it.
It just felt like it was too many words to go all the way up the arm. I know what it means.
Very, very, very cool.
But the book is called Roadmap. It's called Roadmap, the Get It Together Guide for Figuring Out What to Do with Your Life.
And when did it publish?
It published in 2015, and it did really well, obviously. It then got translated into several languages, which was really cool. I have a Korean copy and a Russian copy, and then we actually got to do a second edition because we continued to hit the road and do interviews. And so some years later, the Chronicle came back to us and said, hey, would you guys want to update this at all? And I said, oh, heck yeah. We've had some incredible interviews since then.
Yeah, we want another New York Times bestseller. Yeah.
There's a second edition out now. If you check the library or go online, I'm sure you could find either the original or the newer edition. But yeah, I'm really proud of it. So especially if you know a young person in your life or there's somebody about that just graduated, I think it's a perfect book for someone who's in that phase where they're like, what am I going to do? You know, and they're just trying to see what's out there.
And that show still is on PBS too.
It is. If you just go on the PBS app on your smart TV and search Road Trip Nation, you'll see some of the stuff that we put out this year. I'm actually talking to our local library about potentially doing a screening event later this year because we just did a whole road trip about libraries. So we have a new series coming out where young people are exploring libraries across the country. And so we're doing all kinds of different stories. And I mentioned this last week as well, but if you just go to roadtripnation.com, you can see them all. Every documentary we've ever made, which at this point is, I think it's maybe close to 100 or so, they're all up there to watch. So I encourage y'all to just go and browse around.
And what a good bridge into somebody who's younger and they don't quite know their path yet, right? I mean, all of a sudden, oh, you like veterinarian science? Well, guess what? You know, you don't want to go this way. Guess what? It's out there to be found. And I hope that all the advisors out there have tuned into this thing. And it's really great that it's been rolled out to public education and private education too. But it's out there for anybody who wants it.
That's exactly right. Yeah, we're really lucky the way it's worked out. Some of these major kind of philanthropic funders have come in to say, like, we'll pay you all to keep doing what you're doing and make sure there's a lot of diverse representation in there. You know, we want every kid to be able to see themselves in different careers and different possibilities. So not only all the different careers, but we're talking to people who have, you know, learning and attention issues like ADHD and dyslexia so that that kid can see themselves, or people that have maybe, you know, formerly incarcerated folks who have like come in out of prison and they're trying to find their way back. We're talking to military veterans and just every, like every type of path you can imagine. We want it in the library so that any young person can kind of say like, ah, I recognize that. I and now I could see myself in that career. And so these philanthropic funders have really supported the cause. We're able to keep capturing these stories and then provide it for free for people in schools all over the country.
And I'm getting it now. I see that part of your job is to seek out these ideas for these stories.
Yeah.
How do you find the new idea? How do you find that new career path that you don't know anything about?
Well, I'm lucky that we have a sales and partnership department who's doing that initial sourcing. And then when they bring in folks, I get to come in and do the fun part, which is, all right, how do we tell the best story around this? So just this morning, we were talking about civic engagement, folks who are like, how do we get more people involved in their communities and coming together, you know, despite all the polarization and differences. And I just was so excited to say, yeah, we could tell stories in this space and we could show young people that there's careers where you can use whatever you're interested in and dedicate it to kind of building bridges and bringing people together. People in Idaho are doing this every day. You know, I think about, speaking of the library, just all the cool programs that they got there, whether it's gardening or all these, or media education, and how it's bringing people together from, it doesn't matter if you have different political views or whatever. So that's just one example of a conversation I had this morning that's probably going to become our next year's documentary series. Let's go find all the folks across the country who are doing that kind of work.
Absolutely. That sounds really, really good. And that's where your fertile brain is going to.
Yeah.
You've also jumped back in here to the Beyond the Festival board and also the chamber. You did something with the leadership class there too. So it sounds like you're really jumping back into your hometown.
Well, yeah. Like going back to what I said about becoming my father, you know, it's really set that model of just giving back and serving the community. I think it's such a, you know, a huge part of my life has always been that, and I've seen that, and I want to continue in that tradition. And like I was saying earlier, I really love the festival. I think it's a really exciting time to get involved with the festival. There's a lot of change, obviously, that's been happening, more to come. And I'm just excited to be part of kind of holding on to what I think has been so special and maintaining that while, you know, helping it evolve into the future.
Well, Willie, it's been so great catching up with you and learning your story, and what a great story to share. I hope the event with the library turns out to be something. We've got a great library here too, but to have somebody like you here to share the story, we sure appreciate you. And thanks for jumping in your hometown and being back in town. That's really, really cool. Willie Witzizaler, I'm getting it right. I'm getting closer every time. I really am. Thanks for your time today. And we'll get you back some other time, too, to talk about all sorts of things. I really enjoyed our time today. And hopefully you did, too, out there in Radioland. We're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to have a great guest.
At Winter Ridge, we know the importance of making the most of the blissful summer months. So let us help you spend less time in the kitchen and more time in the sand. Our bakery team has ramped up production and creativity thanks to our new bakery manager, Monique. Our deli team is working hard to whip up easy meals on the hot bar and freshly made wraps, sandwiches, and more in our grab and go. Let us take care of dinner. You take care of the adventure. Winter Ridge, local, natural, delicious since 1997 on the corner of Lake and Boyer and Sandpoint.
There's something special rising at The Forge Artisan Pizza. Every pizza and bread starts with authentic sourdough made using flour from wheat grown and milled in Italy. Fresh, locally sourced organic ingredients are used whenever possible, bringing incredible flavor to every bite. Enjoy artisan pizzas, fresh salads, house-made pasta, and delicious desserts, all served in a warm atmosphere with outdoor patio seating. Open Thursday through Monday, close Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Experience handcrafted flavor at The Forge Artisan Pizza in Sandpoint.
It's our once-a-year anniversary sale. This week at McVay Brothers Roofing, Siding, and Windows, we are offering some incredible special offers on our top-rated Coeur d'Alene windows, where when you order a full house package of windows, we'll give you a brand new entry door with an upgraded lock system for free. And if you need to repair or replace your roof, we'll also include a free rain gutter system tied in with your roof purchase. This week at McVay Brothers.
We're working for you.
Genuine integrity is difficult to find. At Cheryl Burchill Goldsmiths, we specialize at listening to you. We provide personal attention to your sentimental jewelry repairs, custom designs, and all your gemstone desires. With all the juggling we're doing in our lives these days, isn't it wonderful to ask Siri or Google to find the jewelry help you need? Visit our website, Cheryl Burchell Goldsmiths. Email yourgoldsmith@gmail.com or come see us at 1524 Northwest Boulevard in Coeur d'Alene.
You've got to try the new TikTok diet.
Just ask Chad.
I just take blue-green algae.
You just have to eat kale. Kale, kale, kale.
I read you should put butter in your coffee.
Or you could trust your gut. When it comes to your energy, digestion, and overall health, how do you know what's actually right for you? That's where Viome comes in. Viome is a simple, at-home gut health test that looks at your body's real-time biology using RNA to show what's going on inside you right now. Not trends, not guesses, your biology. With your results, Viome gives you clear, personalized, actionable guidance. Which foods help you, which ones don't, and which supplements your body actually can benefit from. All based on the world's largest gut health databases and thousands of clinical research studies. Many people who use Viome report better digestion, more energy, and an improved mood within months. So stop guessing. Start knowing.
And maybe still eat the kale?
Maybe. Learn more at Viome.com/know. V as in Victor, Iome.com/KNOW. And use coupon code VIOME50 to save $50 off your purchase.
And eat everything blue.
No, thank you.
News Talk 97.1, KSPT, KBFI.
We're here for a good time. Not a long time.
And welcome back to live local radio. See, that's what happens. I get Kaylee across here and I'm like, there you go, boom. Thank you, Willie, for that great interview, and it was fun to continue the conversation after last week's show, and again, it came across so well, and thanks for sharing of your time, for sure. Speaking of time, this Saturday and Sunday, the Interactive Traveling Train Museum will be at the Cedar Street Bridge. It says, experience the Traveling Museum. That will be Saturday from 10 to 6, and then Sunday from 10 to 3, and there's a free train car building event on Saturday from 1 to 3. Yep, there, 1 to 3. Anyway, if you want to know more about that, get a hold of Sandpoint DSBA or stop by the great Cedar Street Bridge. Creations is in charge of this. I guess this is going to be a great show. We may hear more about this a little bit later in the show, and we may not, but I wanted to get that in because I'm going to start talking to Kaylee Miller here in about 2 seconds, and once we start talking, we will not stop, I'm pretty sure. So, well, Kaylee, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here.
Thanks for inviting me back.
Well, you've got the best job in the little city with a great future. And she's the planning director, if you don't know that, for Pondere. She's been doing that for a few years now. She looks much younger than that, but she's done a great job there. And as you may know out there in Radio Land, Pondere passed that 1% tax. And I think that's probably the fuel for the engine that keeps the growth going out there. So, Kaylee, let's talk about that a little bit. But let maybe first, I think on top of some people's mind is the Black Rock project for sure, because they're going great guns over there, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. It is fully exposed at the moment, all raw dirt. You can see it across the lake from Hope and from Bottle Bay as well. So
you have some looky-loos watching it, I'm sure.
Lots of good work down there. We are having a little bit of trouble with some trespassers staying out. We really want to keep people out of the site because the contaminants are exposed right now and construction is happening. So especially with the 4th of July coming up and people liking to sit down there and watch the fireworks, I just want to take this chance to remind everyone that that area is closed to the public until it is complete.
So let's talk about that for a second. People who've grown up there will say, oh, it's always been there. There's no contaminants. So tell me and tell us, first of all, what's the danger? And then what's the mitigation that's going on right now? And what's the future of that area like?
Sure. Back in the early 1900s, there was the Panhandle Smelter and Mining Company set up a mine or a mill down there. They, over the course of a couple of years that they operated, left quite a bit of contaminated material, mostly lead and arsenic, down on the site. And it's sort of been spread throughout. So folks have been down there for decades, not knowing that this was in the dirt and under the vegetation that's there. So this project was funded by a group of grants that we received, both through the EPA and then through DEQ as the costs rose. And it's allowed us to go in. We've had to clear the entire site of vegetation and dig a giant repository. And then we've been able to take all the contaminated materials from the site, place them in the repository, and they'll get wrapped with a specialized fabric that prevents the water from seeping through and have a drain system put around it so that they stay put permanently. And they'll get about 12 feet of clean material placed on top of them, which will then plant out in that area. We're also going to be placing a concrete cap over the top of Black Rock itself so that we can keep that since it's so iconic for the community. So there will be a slab of dyed black rock stamped concrete that's placed over the top and a railing, making that a scenic viewpoint for the community. And then it will have some new trails that wind up through the site past the existing historical features that are there.
Oh, back toward, away from the water then.
Yep, up the hill. Yeah. So it'll go past the existing foundation, and there's an old rock wall and some tracks on the site, allowing people to kind of view it. And then there'll be some historical signage that talks about why we're here now and what was there originally.
Really, so really yeah. Making the most of what could have been a bad situation, or has been a bad situation anyway. Yeah. So I may have missed this. So you have what's called Black Rock, but you're really dealing with all the dirt and the vegetation around Black Rock, true?
I mean, as well as the rock itself.
Right,
so
right,
the
right,
rock
right.
itself is a pile of slag.
Is that what it is? I was wondering about that. Really.
From the operation.
So it's leftover. It's,
it's material that was poured out of there. They brought it down on the train tracks and dumped it there at the edge of the water, which lead is not water soluble, thank goodness. So it does flake off there. We're going to be coming back this winter since the water came up too quickly for us and putting in a breakwater system that wraps around the front of Black Rock that'll stop the wave activity from wakes and weather from beating up against it, because it does erode it and drop little black flakes everywhere. And even though they don't disperse into the water, they are still contaminated material themselves. So we'll be scraping that back and then putting in that breakwater, which will extend the Bay Trail across the property. And then again, the new trail system will connect into that, and then it'll all be vegetated again and be the beginning stages of a community park.
Well, that's great. It really is. Again, making the best out of something that's there, raising awareness, making more access to the public, all that good stuff for sure. So are you on schedule, and what's your ETA on this?
Well, originally we had hoped to have all the work done by August, but because, like I said, the water came up too soon, we'll be ending about the end of July with all of the upland work and then pausing until it freezes this winter and coming back and doing the breakwater work during the low water.
Sure.
So a little bit of a change to our schedule than we originally planned, but still able to move forward with our funding requirements.
Project management 101. There you go. All these changes for sure. So people are curious, of course. And it's marked. I've been down there. It's marked. Clearly, don't come across here. And then different days, there's different access available on the trail. Is that confusing people a bit?
So for the most part, we have been able to keep the trail open and just had limited equipment moving up and down it, and they've just worked with the public. This coming week, we will be closed completely for Monday through Wednesday because they will be hauling in the material to wrap the repository and then the clean dirt that will go on top of it and then start hauling in some topsoil. So over the next few weeks, those closures are going to increase. We're going to keep it open as much as we can, but it's just not safe to have people on the trail while the dump trucks are rolling down it. So,
and you know, so that changes because you're inviting more access to that part of the trail. But as of today, the only legal safe way is still really to start way back in Sandpoint and go on that trail. There's been talk about a tunnel type of thing. Can you give us maybe an update on that?
Sure. We received a build grant to design that underpass as well as a 30% design of Highway 200. And so we've been working on that for several years now. It's at about the 95% design mark. So we're getting very close. Soon we'll be completing some work in the ITD yard because we executed a land swap with them that gave us access directly out to Highway 200.
I warned you. You spoke it into existence.
So that will give us direct access out to Highway 200, which will eventually cross the Harbison Field Park, which will have some enhancements, a playground, some trail systems, a little bit better seating for around the stage area, and then there will be parking that's placed for the future underpass. So the construction itself is not currently funded, but we have applied for two different grants, a build grant, which we should be hearing on what projects were awarded here in the next couple of weeks, and then we just submitted for a Federal Railroad Administration crossing closure grant.
And how much is that, a big grant?
That is a large grant. I think we applied for around a $12 million project, some of that being funded by the city through the local option tax as our match, and about $10 million through the Federal Railroad Administration. And that grant itself is designed to close crossings, both legal and illegal crossings that are occurring.
Guilty of that too. On your little trail cam there, you'll see me with my little red mountain bike hauling across there from the trail over to Pend Oreille.
So. Yeah. So it we made us eligible because we are creating an alternate way. So it will essentially eliminate the illegal crossings. And so we're hopeful on that, but that one takes about a year to hear back on. So we're just waiting for the funding mechanism to come through. And that local option tax makes that possible because each of those grants has a large match requirement, and the local option tax will provide that match.
And that shows support too, doesn't it? It shows community support. I mean, of course you go to the city council meetings, you hear from the public. People are behind the idea of making it safe, I'm sure. And secondarily, opening up that waterfront, which has never really been opened up. I mean, there's riprap and stuff down there, but there's never really been something inviting for people to cross the tracks and come down there, other than we used to watch the 4th of July shows from there too, and many people do. So the future, 5 years from now, would you anticipate that you've gotten approval for the underground crossing, or how far away is that?
Gosh, I don't want to jinx us. It really just comes down to when we're awarded a grant. The cost of this underpass is so large that really grants, federal grants, are the only way to fund it. And there are minimal grant options that can fund a large enough amount to make that happen. So we're continually applying and just hoping for the best. But as soon as we find that funding source, we will get it built.
And I bet you'll be at Neighbor Days too, to maybe answer questions that people might have about this.
We will. We will have a setup at Neighbor Day again this year.
At August 29th, I've been told.
August 29th from 1 to 6 p.m.
And the future is, that would be what you might call your future Main Street for Ponderé. Is that kind of what you guys are still thinking? I know the mayor had talked to me about that before. Do you not maybe see it that way anymore? What do you see for access?
At one point we explored that opportunity, but it's become such a community gathering space that we're going to enhance it and keep it as a park facility where we can hold events and the public can come and then park to use the trail. The great thing about the underpass is that it's being built large for safety improvements as well.
Gotcha. Well, Kaylee, let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we either will keep talking or I'll have another guest coming on. I'm looking out there through the little narrow window, and I don't see anybody there, so we might keep this conversation going. Can you hold on just in case?
Absolutely.
Awesome. We'll take that quick break then, and Tag will take us off to commercial land, and when we come back, I'll either have Kaylee here or I won't.
It's here and it won't last. North 40 Summer Celebration Sale, June 27th. Savings throughout the store. Save 15% on almost everything store-wide. Plus, get 10% off guns, ammo, reloading supplies, and in-stock suppressors. Save 25% on all clothing and footwear, including clearance items. Purchase a $30 North 40 gift card for $25 and save $5. June 27th only, in-store or online at north40.com. North 40 Outfitters. Outfitting, work, and play.
With fire season around the corner, now's the time to take a hard look at your property. Acree Enterprises is a third-generation, locally owned logging company, helping North Idaho landowners reduce fire risk, improve forest health, and even generate income from their timber. We specialize in selective logging for 10 acres or more, not clear cutting, so your land looks better when we're done. Honest work, real results. Call Ruben today for a free property walkthrough. More info, acreforestry.com.
Hey, Don Thomas here for Sandpoint Furniture. Many of you that have shopped with us over the years know that we are always stocked with a unique selection of high-quality home furnishings for every room in your house. What you may not remember, but for those new to the area, is our 5,500-square-foot clearance center right next door. We designed this center to make your hard-earned dollars stretch a little further. The Sandpoint Furniture Clearance Center is an outlet for factory specials, one-of-a-kind pieces, discontinued items, closeouts, and overstock. It's also home to a variety of furniture for the kids, or maybe a guest room that needs some sprucing up. These are some points that make the Clearance Center a great place to check out. We're budget-friendly, making us perfect for rentals. We offer living room sets, dining sets, mattress sets, bunk beds, sleeper sofas, lamps, and area rugs. And the selection is always changing with new arrivals daily. And know that you're welcome to take it with you or have our professional delivery service take care of the heavy lifting. The Sandpoint Furniture Clearance Center, located right next door to Sandpoint Furniture in Ponderé.
Brian Ivy here from Pierce Auto Center. If you visit our service department anytime in June and leave a Google review letting us know how we're doing, you will automatically be entered into our drawing for a gas card worth $200. And with the sunshine rolling in, that could fill up all your summer toys. Let us take care of all your vehicle needs with our certified technicians and dedicated lube techs for same-day oil changes. And remember, we work on all makes and models. Get on our schedule today. You might walk away with $200 in gas. Pierce Auto Center.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Craving great food and waterfront views? Come by boat or car to Pearls on the Lake in Hope. Enjoy fresh flavors, handcrafted cocktails, and stunning views of Lake Ponderay. Plus, live music every Thursday and Sunday. Open daily, noon to 8. Close Tuesdays. Reserve your table now at pearlsonthelake.com.
News Talk 97.1.
And welcome back to Live Local Radio. I am so lucky today. I have Kaylee Miller, the planning director of the City of Ponderay, sitting across the desk from me here. We've been talking about everything from neighbor days to grants to cool stuff that's going on, 1% tax, all that kind of cool stuff. I've got to tell you one thing, though. I want to share with you that we had a successful bike ride this past weekend, Sandpoint Rotary and other groups for sure. That ride now, and thank you for your patience with the bike riders. And thank you, by the way, thank you for the porta potty too from the City of Ponderay. That was a nice gift. Anyway, we've now topped almost $1.5 million on that to help local education and other things going on in our community. And it was just a labor of love, but a lot of work and partnerships, again, with the City of Ponderay and other groups too. And thank you for all you folks out there for volunteering. Thank you for being careful around people with bikes on roads. And again, it couldn't have been a better, beautiful day. It was just wonderful. It truly was. So as I mentioned, I've got Kaylee Miller back here for another segment. Thank you for hanging around. I appreciate that for sure. And we are talking a little bit about Neighbor Days. And it's been going on for quite a few years now, hasn't it?
This is our 10th year.
Wow, 10 years. That's crazy. And it didn't used to be kind of during the fair or something, too, and you move the time, or I can't recall.
It's typically about the second week in September, but this year, based on how Labor Day falls and the soccer tournament, we moved it up just a little bit so that we could avoid duplication of events on those weekends so everyone can participate in all of them.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? If you live here long enough, you know every weekend, really from Memorial Day through Labor Day, there's at least one thing going on, and usually several major things going on at the same time. So that was good of you to look that way and maybe, you know, clear the deck a little bit anyway, for sure. Because Ponderay is becoming more of that central hub for activities. The Field of Dreams, I mean, you talk about lacrosse, you talk about soccer, you talk about all sorts of cool things out there. And it's really, I think, easing some of the wear and tear on some of the stuff in Sandpoint, because it used to always be, well, Ponderay Cup, for example, it used to be Traverse Park, boom, 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 a couple schools, and then, you know, that was it, and Memorial Field. And so now you have four great soccer fields out there. I've been lucky enough to be out there on all of them at different times now. And the thing I look around, first of all, there's nothing more beautiful. That is the most beautiful venue. You look to the mountains to the east and the west, and you think, wow, this is pretty special to begin with. But secondly, those fields are world class. And I know you've been talking a little bit about softball, baseball component to it, and perhaps even some other things too. So maybe tell us a bit about what's next for the Field of Dreams.
Absolutely. So with the passing of the local option tax this round, that gives us additional funds to continue the project out there at the Field of Dreams. And the council has identified two projects as their primary focus or their priorities as we move forward. The first one being the next phase of ice for the community, which would be a full-size NHL site rink that's covered and enclosed. We've had so much use at the other facility at the pond that we just need to create more space. We were out of slots for events last year. So that will be one thing that is coming up on the agenda. The other item is the baseball fields to the north. Those are really needed in the community, and they happen to be the only other outdoor piece to the park that would create overhead lighting. And so we want to make sure that that's in place before the development of the land around it occurs, so everyone knows that that's there and we don't have, you know, conflict over that. So.
Yeah, locked in that way. Would you expect the ice and the baseball fields to be done this building season, or what's your schedule?
No, we'll be a few years out for that. The local option tax occurs monthly, so we have to wait for that money to build up. And with the grants that we've applied for, we have to hold a certain amount of that back for our matching funds that we had to commit in advance. So some of the timing will depend on whether or not those grants are awarded and we're able to move forward. The other piece of it is that there's still design work that needs to happen, and that takes quite a bit of time to get the stormwater design and engineering all completed for the site, especially with the baseball fields being at the completely opposite end of the site from where we've done construction now. There's a lot of logistics about how we get those utilities to the north without putting them in the way of future structures that would be placed in the center.
Yeah. Such a problem to have, though, the future growth. That's really, really cool that way.
It is a very good problem to
have. And it's so smart to look, compartmentalize it a bit and move forward that way, too. So you heard it here first, okay? So you said NHL-sized ice, which means, tag, that we're going to have an NHL team here someday. There you go. And I would think the Pondre Paddlers would be the name of the team. So can I put that in there?
It's quite possible. Who knows?
Well, I know it won't happen, but, you know, I want to be on the cutting edge of that for sure.
We're just looking forward to growing the youth program right now and to be able to allow some more adult opportunities in the hockey realm. The current rink, we make work for that, and it's been great, but it's really just not designed for the pucks and the hockey out there. So we want to get something
cool.
That's
so cool. You drive by there at different times of day and night, and you have people out there playing hockey, but you also see the kids with the little scooter things, you know, learning how to skate. And it really was something missing from here. If you were competitive or even just for fun playing hockey or any kind of ice stuff, you had to go to Post Falls or Spokane Valley. And so all of these guys, which I know a bunch of them, wanted to, you know, play here, and they're kind of leading that charge, which is great.
They are, and there's been folks trying to bring an ice rink here for about 20 years now, but with the lack of exposure for the usage out there, it's really hard to convince people that that's something that's needed to build a large multi-million dollar facility. And so what the pond allowed us to do was put something in place at a low dollar amount and then use it as a test case and let the public see and let also the community or our city council see how many users we actually have out there. And so the last 2 years we've had between 12 and 13,000 skaters on the ice, and we've been able to offer free field trips during the week to the schools. This year we did 30 free field trips, which included 50 classes or homeschool programs that were out there, which is a lot of fun. We get some cute little cards from the kids afterwards, and they just love it as their field trip during the winter months.
I'll bet you do. I mean, I'll bet you do. And just even driving by on Kootenai Cutoff Road to see those lights across the top, I mean, it almost feels like it's always been there. So once this happens out at the Field of Dreams, that facility will not be there anymore, or will it?
I think we'll probably leave it in its current location for a while. The idea is that in the future we have this NHL size rink that can be used for more of the programming, figure skating, hockey, all of those things. And then we retain the community rink, so that's available at the same times, and we can share that with the community and let them continue to have that experience. I think once the plaza area out of the Field of Dreams is complete, it'll likely get moved out there. And so during the winter months, as you're driving into the Field of Dreams, you'll see the lights, and we'll be able to use it not only for that, but also if there are tournaments that are going on, we can close it to the public for a weekend and use it as overflow space for additional ice.
Right. You mentioned usage of the pond. How about for the Field of Dreams? What are you seeing out there on those four fields? Is it above expectation, below, about where you thought it would be? And is it penciling out?
You know, I didn't know what to expect it to be, honestly. But it's booked solid, or it has been all spring from 3:30 in the afternoon till 8 o'clock at night. And then we have some adult leagues that have been reserving some time out there and doing events on Friday nights, and then soccer games and lacrosse games on the weekends. We've had a few tournaments and potential for more to come. And I think it'll just continue to grow. But I asked the same question of our clerk the other day, if it pencils out, and it's pretty close to penciling out there when we include our maintenance staff and things like that. So it's always great when you build a facility like that to have it be able to self-support itself.
Yeah, Kaylee, it's wonderful. It's just one more addition. And it's great to see everybody kind of filtering into Sweet Lou's and different pondery businesses that way. And I've got to believe they're seeing some benefit from that. So I want to thank you today. Thanks for stopping by. I appreciate it. It always goes by fast, doesn't it? And we did two segments together. We could talk all day. So, and I appreciate you stopping by. Again, if you get a chance, I'll pop out to the Field of Dreams. Give it a look. You'll see a lot of happy, smiling faces out there. And the little city that with the big future keeps chugging along out there in Pondere. So, again, Kaylee, thank you for joining us today. And we'll see all of you next week on the radio. So thanks for stopping by. Take care.